Canto, chapter 7, scheduled inclinations, text 47. Sasvat prasantam abhayam pratibodhamatram. Sasvat prasantam abhayam pratibodhamatram. Sudam samam sat asata paramatmatattvam. Sabdo nayatra purukarukavam kriyato. Maya parecha vimukecha vilajamana. Maya paracha vimukesa vilajamana.
Maya paracha vimukesa vilajamana.
Tadvahi padam bhagavata paramasya punso.
Tadvahi padam bhagavata paramasya punso.
Brahmeti yad vidura jasa sukham visokam. Brahmeti yat vidura jasra sukham visokam.
Brahmeti yat vidura jasra sukham visokam.
Eternal. Prasantam. Without disturbance. Abhayam. Without fear. Pratibodhamatram. A consciousness opposed to the material counterpart. Shudam, uncontaminated. Samam, without distinction. Sadasataha, of the cause and effect. Paramatmatattvam, the principle of the primal cause. Sabdaha, speculative sound. Na, not. Yatra, where there is. Purukarakavan, resulting in fruit of action. Kriyarta, for the matter of sacrifice. Maya, illusion. Pareti, flies away. Abhimukhe, in front of. Cha, also. Vilajamana,
being ashamed of.
Ta, that. Vai, is certainly. Padam, ultimate face. Bhagavata, of the personality of Godhead. Paramasya, of the Supreme. Pumsa, of the Person. Brahma, the Absolute. Iti, thus. Yat, which. Vidu, known as. Ajastra, unlimited. Sukham, happiness. Vishokam, without grief. Translation. What is realized as the absolute Brahman is full of unlimited bliss without grief. That is certainly the ultimate phase of the supreme enjoyer, the personality of Godhead. He's eternally void of all disturbances and fearless. He's completely conscious or opposed to matter, uncontaminated and without distinctions. He's the principal, primal cause of all causes and effects, in whom there's no sacrifice for fruit of activities, in whom the illusory energy does not stand. Purport. The supreme enjoyer, the personality of Godhead, is the supreme Brahman, or the summum bonum, because of his being supreme cause of all causes. The conception of impersonal Brahman realization is the first step, due to his distinction from the illusory conception of material existence. In other words, impersonal Brahman is a feature of the absolute distinct from the material variegatedness, just as light is a conception distinct from its counterpart, darkness. But the light has its variegatedness, which is seen by those who further advance in the light. And thus the ultimate realization of Brahman is the source of the Brahman light, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the summum bonum, or the ultimate source of everything. Therefore, meeting the Personality of Godhead includes the realization of the impersonal Brahman as realized at first in contrast with material inebriety. The Personality of Godhead is the third step of Brahman realization. As explained in the first canto, one must understand all three features of the Absolute, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. In Bhagavad Gita, we find various verses that describe how Krishna is not an ordinary personality. Avajananti mammuta manusim tanumasritaha. Only fools think that I've taken shelter of a human form, of a human body. Krishna, when he appears in this world, he appears in his original swarup, his original form, his own form, not a temporary form that is accepted of the material nature. Like these bodies that we have, these bodies have nothing to do with us. These bodies are simply made of material elements. We are separate from these bodies. Therefore, the body has nothing to do with us. Only temporarily are we together with these atoms, with these molecules, but we don't remain there, only for a short while. So why do we think we have any more relation with the molecules and atoms in our body than with the molecules and atoms in this seat? I'm sitting on this seat now, I'm very intimate with these models, nice molecules, kind of soft molecules, I appreciate them, for a while. But for how long? Soon I will leave them. So what's my true relationship? Same, the molecules in this body. How long will we be together? For a short while. So what it has to do with me? Nothing. This is not me. It's a machine. I'm inside. Like you go in a car. Are you the car? No, but some people, if you hit their car, say, you hit me. No, I didn't hit you. I hit your car. So the body is a car and you're inside like this. We understand. We are not the body. It's nothing to do with us. Like that. So life after life, we are changing these material bodies, but not Krishna. Krishna is not forced to change. Krishna is not subject to the three modes of material nature. Tribir kunamye bhave irisamam idam jagat mohitam namijanati. Krishna is not bewildered by the three modes of material nature. But all living beings become influenced by these three modes of material nature. Janmadiyas chetun viyat itaratas chate svapikya svarat tene brahmadidade hidaya adhikavye muyantiyat suryaha. Even the demigods are bewildered by the three modes of material nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunakamani sarvasa ahankara vimudatma kartamiti manyante. And we think that we are doing so many things and we're just controlled by the material nature. So like this, the living being is never independent, but always controlled, either controlled by Krishna or controlled by the material energy. Controlled by the material energy means sukh and dukkh, means happiness and distress. See, that's the material energy. You want to have a good time, but you don't always have a good time. But when you are with Krishna, on the spiritual platform, always a good time. That is why the devotees are not so interested in the material energy, because they know it's good, but there's always two sides to everything. So everything in this world has sukh and dukh, happiness and distress. So you cannot just see the happiness, you also have to know that the distress comes. With all the enjoyment comes the bill, right, at the end. So that's obviously distressful. Such a great time. Oops, look at that bill. So many examples we can give. Sometimes I give the example of that boy who has the most beautiful girl in the world. Lucky fellow. Is he? I think he's up for a lot of trouble, because the most beautiful girl in the world is quite demanding, you know. She's got 20 guys falling at her feet, and they're ready to give her everything. And if you don't get it together and step up, we'll dump you today. I've got 20 others. So there's a lot of anxiety. So don't get the most beautiful one. Better get one that's, well, still nice, but like that. You see the point, though, of the material dynamics. You see how it works. Right? So everything has two sides. That's my point with this illustration. My point is, nothing comes with happiness alone. It doesn't exist in the material world. Happiness always has its counterside, and you get both. You think you're only getting one, but wait a while, and the counterpart comes out. But on the spiritual plane, it's different. There is real happiness. That is where Krishna is always residing. That is the abode that is free from anxiety, Vaikuntha. That's the meaning of Vaikuntha. Vai means without, Kunta means anxiety. Without anxiety, the spiritual world. Vayam dvitya binivesita syat. As soon as you turn away from Krishna, there's anxiety. It begins. Anxiety begins then, immediately, because you don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea. And anything can happen. Any moment. I have experienced the strangest things have happened to me. I was in a room and suddenly at 6 in the morning I heard banging on the wall, and it was as if someone was attacking the wall with a sledgehammer. So I'm going, what's going on? You know, is someone coming through the wall? It's sort of scary. And who would that be? Next moment, from that point in the wall, there was a crack coming down, and it cracked right through the floor. And the floor cracked right open, you know. And all the tiles stood up. You cannot imagine. I didn't know that I could fly, but I could. I could. I flew, and not only that, I grabbed my computer, my everything, my money, and I flew out of the room with all my valuables. Within less than 20 seconds, I was out. But it's the last thing you expect, you know, that the floor cracks open. Right? You would read it in some sort of horror story or some science fiction story, but things like that don't happen in real life. They do. I tell you, they do. Hey, you'd be surprised, but it does happen. The floor cracked open. Whoa. Yes. These things are can happen. Maybe a little earth tremor or something like that. Possibly so. The unexpected can happen. And therefore, there is a reason to be in anxiety. Oh my God, what's going to happen? There is a magazine called The New Yorker, and they make really good cartoons. I mean, amongst the best in the world, I must admit. And they have this one, which is really cool, you know. There's a group of people, and you know that sometimes a group of people, they think about a big problem and solution, and they call them a think tank. Right? This is a think tank, right? But in this case, it was a worry tank. And the worry tank is sitting around the table, and one is saying, what if something will go wrong? And someone else was saying, what if nothing will go wrong? Anxiety. One writer was making a list of things that caused anxiety. It said the tax man, the government, rats, spiders, a long list, right? And in the end, at the bottom of the list, it said everything. It was an honest list. Everything can cause anxiety. Oh my God, bite your nails. Exams. The boss. So many things, right? Anxiety. So, what to do? Endless causes for anxiety. Because we're separated from Krishna. One who is with Krishna, no anxiety at all, completely free from anxiety. So this is something inconceivable, very difficult. We can think about it. We can think about the spiritual world. It is always satsidanant, right? Eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. How can we understand that? It's very difficult to understand something that is always where you know everything. But how can you know everything? Full of knowledge. We're not used to that. There's always something you don't know. And then in the spiritual world, so how is this full knowledge? It's difficult to understand in the spiritual world, right? How is it to be always blissful? What is it like? You can only imagine. We have to start saying, without pain, without time, without anxiety, without. But that doesn't describe the thing itself, right? That only describes what it's not. It doesn't describe what it is. So we can describe what it's not, but can we describe what it is? Difficult. So difficult to understand. How can we understand Krishna? How can we understand that Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful and beautifies even the jewels he wears? So we start imagining. Imagine how beautiful. Dr. Frog at work. More beautiful. Well, who's the most beautiful in the world? Mirror, mirror. More beautiful than Cinderella? Right? She was the most beautiful because the mirror didn't. The mirror said so. So more beautiful than Cinderella? Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the most beautiful on the wall? How can you imagine Krishna? How can we understand Krishna? Therefore, we find that when the devotees are actually seeing Krishna, they stunned. They just see Krishna, and that's already enough. They don't even need to be introduced. Here is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, pleased to meet you. I've always wanted to see you face to face. I heard so much about you. Oh, boy. This is the day I've been waiting for. It doesn't even get that far. Right? It doesn't get that far. You see Krishna already stunned. We find that description in the Krishna book about this Brahmana Shrutadev and this King Bahulasva. And the king was thinking, when Krishna comes, I will give him a royal reception. Offer him a wonderful seat, a beautiful garland, and so many things. But when the Lord finally came, Shrutadev was just standing there. And the Brahmana was thinking, I will offer so many prayers, but all he could do was pay obeisances. And he never got further than that. It is interesting. Sarvama gunagan Vaishnav sarira. All the great qualities of the Vaishnava, of Krishna, are manifest in the body of a Vaishnava. So we see the same qualities. When Srila Prabhupada were scheduled to arrive in England, they had chosen Tribhuvanat to give Srila Prabhupada a garland. You know, so he stood next to the door, ready. Prabhupada came out of the car, and he was holding the garland, ready to go. And then Prabhupada came in, and he was just such a presence. And many of the devotees had never met him. They just had joined his movement, but they hadn't met him. So it was the first time to meet him. And when they saw him, they were shocked. It was beyond their expectation. And Tribhuvanat also, he stood there with the garland, and he didn't move. And Prabhupada just walked past. And then he sort of tried to jump over all the devotees that were paying obeisances. The devotees just stayed down. They fell down, all went down the ground. And nobody got up. Anyway, then Tribhuvanat hung the garland around Prabhupada. So we see that a devotee, Sarva Mahaguna Gan Vaishnava Sarir, Krishna Bhakti Krishna Gun Sakala Santari, that actually all the good qualities of Krishna are manifesting in the devotee. And therefore, when Prabhupada was present on the planet, wherever he was, that was the most important place. The most important place. And Prabhupada sometimes went to places which were really like in nowhere, you know, nowhere land. At one point in America, Prabhupada said that he would go wherever they would invite him and buy tickets for himself, his secretary, and put $1,000 in his book fund. So Ridayananda Maharaj immediately went for it and invited Prabhupada to Gainesville. Now I tell you folks, Gainesville is one of those places. Have the whoops, have the sticks, right? It's one of those places, you know, where there's nothing going on. Okay? But anyway, Prabhupada was invited there, and he went to that place. And interesting that right there next to Gainesville now is the biggest community that ISKCON has worldwide, namely Alachua. The largest gathering of devotees are living there because Prabhupada graced it and transformed that place and just made it so attractive that everyone found a reason, some logical reason. Yes, yes, we must move to that particular place. It's very cheap. It's humid like anything. It doesn't matter. Somehow or other they live there. Right? Why? Because Srila Prabhupada, just by touching that place, transformed it. That is the power of the pure devotee. He transforms places. It is stated that the pure devotee, when he comes in any place, that he purifies that place from all the sinful reactions. And not only that, he makes that place into a transcendental place. Any place where Prabhupada was is invested with transcendental power. In Mayapur, I was remembering it, how I went to Tompkins Square Park, and there was the tree, the famous tree, and there's the sign on it which says Hare Krishna tree. And then next to the side of the path, there is a explanation about the tree. Now, you know, I am from the Netherlands. It's a kind of a Protestant country, and people are this sort of sober, very sober, you know. So tree hugging has never been a thing that I did. You know, in Vrindavan you have all these tree huggers, but I always felt a little ridiculous here I am hugging trees, right? So I never did it in Vrindavan. But I thought, this time I'm going for it. This is the tree in Tompkins Square Park. So I hugged that tree, and while I was hugging, I did a serious prayer to invest me with the strength to spread Krishna consciousness. I turn around, and there is one boy standing there. And he says, "What do I have to do to become a monk like you?" Prabhupada transformed that tree into a desire tree, a wish-fulfilling desire tree, a kalpataru, a tree that fulfills all desires. See, it was my desire to spread Krishna consciousness, and I turned around, and there it was, desire fulfilled. So see, See the potency. The pure devotee transforms places into the spiritual world. And so did Krishna himself. Wherever he was on the planet, all these places became holy places. Tirthas, many tirthas on the way. So many places in India became graced by Krishna as he traveled over India. We know he traveled from Hastinapur from Mathura to Dwarka. So all those roads are blessed, you know. Even some place like Faridabad, you know, you thought Faridabad is probably the most forgotten place in the world, you know. You thought Faridabad, right, is only factories. That's what Faridabad is. It's factories, right? It's factory loka. And, you know, and everywhere you see a factory and then in between a shop advertising English wine. Right? That's it. It's to keep the workers going, you know. That's how it operates. So when you drive to Faridabad, you know, one might think hell, right? We're just now driving through hell. But no, all this whole region is graced by Krishna, who traveled along this route. So how fortunate, actually. How fortunate is that land of Bharat, that it is graced by the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. Even Delhi, for the Delhiwalas, even Delhi is blessed. Somewhere at least, Hastinapur is somewhere there nearby. Like that, we are fortunate. But Prabhupada went around the world, right, and created places like New Vrindavan. Right? Now, the question can be raised, right, is this New Vrindavan, is it the same as the old Vrindavan, or is there a difference? Vrindavan, the Vrindavan in Bharat, that Vrindavan where Krishna personally appears, that is eternal. When the whole universe is being destroyed and everything annihilated, when from Anantasesa's mouth a fire is rising and gradually the entire universe is burning up and eventually all the elements are entering into the body of Mahavishnu and so on. When all that is going on, Vrindavan is still there. So, will New Vrindavan also still be there? Why not? Vrindavan Chandra will still be there, certainly. And with them, their abode will still be there. Radha Vallabha will still be there. You think that Radha Vallabha is not eternal? Radha Vallabha is absolutely eternal. Right? Even when the deity form of Radha Vallabha will not be manifest, still Radha Vallabha will still be there. Absolutely. And with Radha Vallabha, Radha Vallabha is not coming alone. When Krishna is traveling, he's not limited to 20 kilos. Jeez, you know, what shall I take? I'm going to the material world. Oh, God, you know. Shall I take this or shall I take this? Shall I take some Chintamani stones? Yeah, but stones are heavy, you know. Well, some peacock feathers then, I guess. So, Krishna, no, it's not like that. Krishna is not limited. And you know, when we go and travel, actually, it's a tough choice. Because really, we would want to take everything. Yeah? If it was up to us, we would just take everything. Yeah? Yes, I'll pack everything. Right? Why not, you know? And that's Krishna. So when Krishna travels, he takes the whole spiritual world with him. He just takes it with him. Yeah, like that. So the spiritual world's also here. So that's the holy Dham. No? At the same time, though, when Krishna goes to the material world, it's also not that he leaves the spiritual world and puts a note on the fridge, I will be right back, just gone to the material world. Right? It's not like that. When Krishna goes to the material world, he's still there in the spiritual world also. That is Krishna. Advaitam achyutam anadim ananta rupam. One Lord. Advaitam. Only one. None. But at the same time, so many forms. So many forms he takes like that. In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord has many hands and many legs and many faces. So are we speaking about the universal form? Advaita Acharya was wondering. But Lord Chaitanya explained, no, we're speaking about Paramatma, Krishna, who is so kind that when the living being turns away from him, Krishna says, okay, I will not let you go alone. Our Bhakta in his Hansel and Gretel play opened up as a spirit soul wanting to go to the material world, right? And he said, and Krishna was there, no, no, don't go. No, no, it's all right. I'm not really going to stay there. I'll just have a look. You know, I'm not staying. I'll just check it out and I'll be right back. And Krishna says, no, no, don't go. No, no, it's all right. So finally Krishna says, well, you really want to go? Yeah, really, definitely. All right, then take this. And he just brings this sheet of plastic with a hole in it, transparent, which is the subtle body. Then, God, what is this? Yeah, you have to wear that material. Then he brings a huge overcoat, the gross body. He has to wear that as well. And then, oh God, what is this? And then he gets these parcels, right, for material desires and so lust, greed, anger, and is to balance all that ready for the material world. And next moment, the next scene, the curtain closes. Then when it opens again, there is Bhakta in the cradle with a big baby hat on and his feet are waving at the audience. Was one of the best Bhakta. That baby hat and those feet, you know. The enormous cradle, the huge cradle, and then this baby hat and those feet. Boy, was it good. But that's exactly how it is. Here we are in the material world, right? Forgetful now of the spiritual world. And now the anxiety begins. Bhayam dvitiya vinivesitasyat. Now there's anxiety. And it's become our second nature. It's normal to be in anxiety. That's why people are saying, but what if there's no anxiety? Oh my God, there's always anxiety, that's normal. And suddenly if there's no anxiety, imagine, you know, that's weird. You see, like this. We're so conditioned. How can we imagine what it will be like in the spiritual world? That place where it's always blissful. How can we imagine the opulence of the spiritual world? Right? It's like, is it like a mountain of gold? No. Gold, mountain of gold is nothing. That's nothing in the spiritual world. So the opulence of the spiritual world is just unlimited. Unlimited. So many things going on. Say, yeah, but I don't know. I don't like cows. And it seems that the pastimes of Krishna are just the same every day. Again going to the forest. Again herding the cows. Eternally, no variety. Now there is unlimited variety. So many things are going on, you know. Sometimes people say, like an actor, like Bhakta may say, well, I don't know if I want to go to the spiritual world, right? Because, you know, I mean, I want to act, I want to do plays, you know, I'll miss the theater, you know what I mean? Da-da-da-da-da! The curtains open, and there he is. And imagine,
You know, you be in the forest with the cows in Vrindavan, and no more stage, no worries, mate. The coward boys are performing dramas in the forest, right? There are big plays for Krishna also there that are being performed. So everything that exists here in the spiritual world, we're not going to miss out on anybody or anything. Somebody said, I don't know if I want to go to the spiritual world. I don't know anybody there. No, don't worry. There is one book which sheds light on this, and that is the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And I like the Brihat Bhagavatamrita for that. Namely, that mostly our books are stories in the Bhagavatam. They end a story about a devotee and how that devotee attained perfection, and then he went back to Godhead. And that's the end of the story. Then the lion appears on the screen, opens its mouth, and all the titles come of the actors, and it's over. It's finished. But the Brihat Bhagavatamrita is different. It doesn't end there. On the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, we actually see that Gop Kumar arrives in the spiritual world. So that's interesting. He comes to this strange land where he's never been before. It's sort of a land, a little strange, because the people in this land seem to be kind of absent-minded. They don't seem to really be there. Kind of looking into space. What is wrong with them? Then he comes further and then he notices that actually all the trees, the branches of all the trees, are pointing in one direction. Yes. That is the direction that Krishna went in the morning when he left for the forest. And all people are absent-minded because everyone is thinking about Krishna in the forest. And when is he coming back? And Yasoda, Mother Yasoda, she has arranged for the tallest gopi to be on the tower of the palace so that she can be in a lookout post, you know, and assume as there is a sign of dust. Dust! Dust! Right? When there is dust, then everyone wakes up. Suddenly no longer absent-minded at all. Totally alert. Now waiting for Krishna to return. And oh yes, they all line up at the side of the road. The gopis hide a little bit behind the columns. But actually, they are the main personalities. Everyone is there. Krishna returns from the forest with all the calves and cowherd boys, and the eyes of every calf are on Krishna. Every calf is looking at Krishna. Right? Every calf is looking at Krishna. And the parrots, they're dancing in the air looking at Krishna. The monkeys, they hang on a branch making funny sounds, looking at Krishna. Right? Everyone is looking at Krishna. The gopis hiding behind the columns are looking at Krishna, and Krishna is looking at them. Right? In this way, Krishna is returning from his day in the forest. And then Swarup was there with everyone. He had returned now, and he also saw Krishna. And as soon as Krishna saw him, he called out Gopakuma, whose name now was Sarup. He called Sarup. Sarup! His name in the spiritual world, Sarup. He's a coward boy. And Krishna saw him, and Krishna said, when he saw him, he fainted in ecstasy. The gopis thought it's an agent of Kamsa. And they were ready to take action. But Balaram intervened and said, no, he's an old friend of Krishna. It's okay. Krishna's just a little overwhelmed by seeing him after such a long time. He called Sarup, chanting Krishna's ear. Then Krishna immediately returned to consciousness and was so happy to see Sarup. He took him back. He took him by the hand, took him home with him and set him next to him to take prasad. And then Sarup was related to Sridham. He was in that family. And then, you know, when they preserved the prasadam, it came to the sweets, and they served some sweets that were made by Radharani. And these sweets, right, Krishna tasted them, and he made a face like, oh God, as if she forgot the sugar or put in something horrible, you know, put salt instead or whatever. And he just took the sweets and just said like, God, these are horrible, and just here, you know, here, take him back, and throwing him to Sarup, because he was the representative of the family. And Sarup had those sweets on his plate. And it was a big drama. Mother Yasoda all upset with Radharani. What is this? But Radharani understood, so she smiled. And Sarup tasted. It was nectar. It was such nectar. He got all these sweets from Krishna's plate. This is how he came back to Godhead. So it's like really very personal. And he was welcomed by Krishna personally. It wasn't suddenly he was back in the spiritual world. Running with the cowherd boys. Nothing like that. As if he never left. No. Krishna felt his absence. Krishna had been waiting all this time. And Krishna even had come with him to the material world as Paramatma. In the spiritual world, there is no Paramatma. There is no Paramatma in the heart of the eternal liberated souls. That's only in the material world. Because when the living being wants to go and leave Krishna, Krishna says, all right, yes. All right, then, you go. But meanwhile, Krishna goes with him, hiding in the heart all along. Shh, don't say anything. Krishna is there, hiding in the heart. So, and then sometimes Krishna is sort of hinting, no, not left, go right. Go the right path, not the wrong one. Like this. Oh, my conscience. It's my conscience. It's part of me, that inner voice. No, it's Krishna who is kindly accompanying us on our material journey. And in this way, we can appreciate that actually we are never alone. Never, ever. And therefore, the greatest difficulty we can face, because we realize Krishna is always with us. Therefore, what can go wrong? Yata Krishna Yogeshwara Tata Shrir Vijayo Bhutir Truva Itir Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, there will be victory. Everything is provided. There's no shortage of anything. And just see, the devotees, they don't have a job. No, they don't work. Look at these brahmacharis. Look at these fellows there. Yes. They don't have a job. Nothing. No, they don't work. But they're eating, and very well also. They live in a nice place, palace, you know, marble floors, columns, and beautiful ceiling. Look at it. You know, you have this at home. You're working so hard, right? And these fellows, they don't work. They live better than you do. Just see. But don't become envious. One journalist was saying to Prabhupada, oh, you have come in a Rolls Royce. Prabhupada said, yes. You can also have. Yes, you can also have. But you must give up sex life. So you want to live in a palace? Yes, you can also have. But then you become a brahmachari. Come. You don't have to work. Why? Don't even have to finish your school. Just be a brahmachari, right? And just, but then for whole life. Easy life. Most can't do it, so maybe better finish the school after. Maybe. But yes, so when we are with Krishna, no anxiety, no anxiety. And that is Krishna consciousness. And that's why it's so nice. Nothing better than that. So any questions, any comments?
Maharaj, is there any reference or relation that we find in the Shastra about Kunta and mind?
Kunta and mind?
Yeah, is
combined.
Can these two be related? Are these the same?
Kunta and mind the same? Oh, I see. So the question is, when I spoke about Kunta, anxiety, is there any question about a relation between mind and Kunta? Are these two the same? No, they're not the same, but they are obviously related. Because, you see, Shastra mentions that thinking, feeling and willing, these are the functions of the mind. It says actually, originally, thinking, feeling and willing are the functions of the soul. But when the living entity comes to the material world, then the mind borrows these functions of the soul, thinking, feeling and willing. Right? And naturally, our feeling brings kunta, anxiety, because we are separated from Krishna, and therefore our shelter is gone. Just like a fish out of the water. You know, you saw that also. A fish is just a fish. You saw the early Mr. Fish play? No. That's very famous also. From a fish out of the water is always in anxiety. It's because he's not in his element. So in the material world, we're not in our element. So when we're not in our element, feeling automatically is anxiety, you know, and that's the material world. It's anxiety, everything, you know. You know the old, like, you know, flower and the girl taking a leaf. Does he love me? Does he love me not? Does he love me? Does he love me not? Does he love me? Does he love me not? All anxiety, anxiety, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? God, there's recession. In many countries, and Australia is still doing okay, but you know, it's linked to the growth of China. Oh my God, and China, we read in the papers, I mean, you know, I'm reading the papers every day, and China is like, the growth is going down, and it's going to affect Australia, and it's like, through the mining, Australia actually is doing okay, otherwise the economy is also not so great in Australia, and we also have to... Is it going to happen to us also that we have to tighten the belt? No worries. Yeah, she'd be right, you know. Yeah. Dinky die, true blue, you know. Yeah. Well, those days may be gone, you know. Everyone in Australia, oh my God, how's it going to go on, you know. Worry loco. When recession hits. Yeah. Will it happen here also? I don't know. God, it's possible. You know, read the newspapers and see how it's going in China and everything. It's like, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. It's like, anxiety. Anxiety, anxiety. You know. Yes. You know, the divorce rates are very high. You know, is your marriage going to last? You know, anxiety, 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 anxiety. It's natural. Feeling anxiety is always there. So even when there's happiness, you feel a little bit of anxiety. I hope, nothing's going to go wrong. See the point. So therefore, in the material world, there is a relationship between feeling and anxiety. Bhayam dvitiya vinivesha, because there's fear, always fear. of what could go wrong. And it's Murphy's Law. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. Any other? It's simple. It's very simple. It's like this, that the living being has the same qualities as Krishna. And Krishna is the supreme independent. So the living entity also has a little bit of independence he has to have. But he doesn't. Then, on eternity, we're happily serving Krishna. And on eternity, once we encounter that quality in ourselves, we discover it. Look at that. I have also this quality of independence. That means that instead of being servant, I could also be master. Just then, as you are in that thought, you are in the tattvastha state. You are in the state in between. You are neither serving Krishna, nor are you not. Nor are you fallen down. You're just in between. And from that in-between state, you can choose. You can go back to serving Krishna. You can think, no, I'll serve Krishna. And you go back, and you're back in serving Krishna. Or you can think, interesting, maybe. So, it is curiosity that kills the cat. It is when you start... When you come across this opportunity of being master instead of servant, and when for a moment you contemplate on this, hey, I could be master, and just for a moment you're neutral. Huh? Just like now, if you're busy serving Krishna, I'm the servant of Krishna, I'm serving, and for a moment you stand still in the room thinking, I could also be master. And Bhakta comes from the back, and slaps you on the back and says, hey mate, what's going on? Dreaming? Go back to cleaning the floor. And you're cleaning the floor. The program's starting soon. In this way, you resume your service. But maybe you're dreaming, no one slaps you on the back, and you just think, interesting idea. Then you fall. Then you go. It's curiosity that kills the cat. So the root cause of the fall down is curiosity. And then gradually go down to the material world. It's another story. Other question? There are no demons in the spiritual world, so it is said. But the knowledge that Kamsa is there, everybody knows that Kamsa lives in Mathura. Everybody knows it, and that he can come any moment. And that he has agents and so on, so you have to be careful. So everyone is on guard. And then to break the rule, sometimes even demons do come to Vrindavan. And that's also in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where it is said, Kaliya, Kaliya, Kaliya is back, he's back. Big drama, Kaliya, Kaliya is back, he's back, he's back. Anxiety, spiritual, da-da-da-da-da. And then Krishna took Kaliya, and this time he put reins through his nose, through his noses, and he bridled him, and he held the reins, and all the cowherd boys were racing with Krishna on Kaliya, up and down the Yamuna. You know, right? Racing is also there in the spiritual world. Brihad Bhagavatam.